You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hello?
I know you've all been freshly awakened, but I have my own things to deal with, as we are about to have a lovely landing.
It's been a minute.
Yep.
Welcome
back.
We're just going to keep doing
songs from the 70s. duets.
Yes. Ryan and I are doing, for anybody that wasn't in the garage a few minutes ago, we just for some reason can't stop doing shitty duets. Like putting
Paul Simon.
And yeah.
And it's all, they're all from the same era.
Well, yeah. And this was John Sebastian. So
Was that the name of the guy that sang
that? That was John Sebastian. Our parents had the 8-track.
the guy that sang the Welcome Back, Cotter.
He put out an album.
That's actually a pretty damn decent song.
That would have been a decent song to use for tonight's format.
That's true.
If our tonight's format were, you know, good songs that also were TV
were theme songs.
somebody write that down.
I've been gone for a couple weeks. I don't know if we alluded to this before. Nobody's really going to have noticed the passage of time since
only during the broadcast.
Only during the broadcast.
Looking at their watch constantly. When's this fucking thing going
to
end?
God, will they ever get to the point?
Yeah, so I'm happy to be back, and we have a lot of shit to.
Yeah, Shane was in Kerrville.
I was
making
at the
some corn cob pipes.
Yes, whittling.
Whittling. Yes. No, that was when I lived in Kerrville.
Did you play the washboard?
No. That's a different instrument.
Oh, right.
let's play some theme music. I'm Shane.
Ryan.
Kevin.
And I'm Mark.
Somebody likes it.
So it's a very special episode, which is apparently our Memorial Day episode, and in keeping with our tradition of not doing things on time, we're recording it about two weeks.
Honestly, it's the spirit of Memorial Day. We're memorializing Memorial Day.
It's Memorial
Day. That's right.
That's a good way to look at it.
That's exactly what it is.
It's a meta podcast.
Well,
Memorial Day?
2 weeks ago?
I do, wistfully. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So, in honor of that occasion, I'm going to probably, grill up something here while we're working on the podcast.
Oh, that's right. I smelled a grill going.
I'll be looking forward to that something.
Yes,
exactly. What was that, quinoa?
Yeah, exactly. You just got to make sure it doesn't fall through the slots. Whatever.
Anyway,
this joke's falling apart before it started.
In any case, we've got a very special episode, and so it's going to be, occasionally we do a mixtape, and this one's a mixtape.
Yeah, this with a twist.
Yeah, we have a theme this time.
I like it.
Right. Well, I'd suggested maybe we come up with a theme, and Ryan, we all left, and Ryan came up with a couple of themes, and this is the one that we picked.
The one that I didn't like was songs and languages we don't speak. I was like, that's probably not going to
translate too well.
Yeah. Backwards masking. I thought that was probably one that was like, you hear the first
this
couple
one
of
you
tracks.
Gotta,
like
yeah, yeah, it's not going to last, but it's going to be amusing for a couple seconds.
Yeah. But this one, the one that you came up with that we agreed on, I think worked pretty well. Do you want to tell everybody what it is?
Yeah, it's One Hit Wonders.
Yes.
There are a lot of them.
Lot of the fun in selecting the ones that I have chosen was just, it's like playing the lottery. Like, you're not going to win, but, it's just like, what would you do if you did?
So you picked one of these songs and went to the beach?
No, but typically, somebody will pick a record and I go off and listen to it and I'm reading about it and whatever, and I'm concentrating on this one record. But this was all like, man, like, what songs could I pick? And like, how many fucking one-hit wonders are there? What constitutes a one-hit wonder?
Well, I thought about that point a lot.
We have to talk about it because I eventually had to hold myself to a certain like criterion
standard,
like
yeah
well I mean because like
I can't promise to match that standard.
Well I eventually, at first I was like, well, what I'll do is I'll hold myself to a top 40 at least. Like, they could only have like one top 40 on the Billboard charts, but then there were a couple of good ones, some none of which I'm really using tonight, that I kind of went down to the, well, I'll go to one that that person may or may not have had a second or third hit, but they really are only known for one hit. And that's kind of where
that's kind of where I landed too.
Yeah.
Like, you might have had like a minor hit
later.
Yeah, but you're known for
this
song.
You're known for only that one song.
Yeah, that was the same. That's the same internal argument that I had, was like, especially if you like go poke around on certain sites where it's like they'll give you a rundown of like what was clearly the song, that the one song that a certain act is known for, and then there'll be like three or four others. And so I dig a little bit into like some of these other singles, and I was like, oh yeah, that's another one.
That.
I was like, that's a pleasant song, and no, but all I could think of was like, you go to like, if you go to see one of these acts in concert, it'd be like, play it.
I don't know if I've said this, and this is not one of my songs, and I apologize if it's one of your guys' songs, but like, do you guys know my Gerardo story?
No.
Is it Rico and Suave?
It's not one of my songs, but it was considered.
I was on a band trip, and we went to Six Flags.
You know it's already starting. If that's how you're going to start the story, you got a good one coming.
I was on a marching band, or like a symphonic band trip to Dallas. And we went to Six Flags, and like, the lines were too long or whatever. So me and a buddy of mine went to go see the show that was playing, and it was Gerardo and Information Society. And Information Society was just fine, but Gerardo opened. He opened with Rico Suave, played one other song, and then closed his set with Rico Suave yet again.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's weird, too, because Ryan was
the definition of a one-hit wonder,
totally,
by the way.
Kind of, yeah.
Well, and he later found Jesus and, like, doesn't play music anymore.
Oh, maybe it was in his shirt, because he never seem to wear one of those.
Right?
Thank God somebody finally found him.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, so should we get into it?
Yeah,
so I think, I mean, like, maybe we should sort of, like, just explain to the audience, like, a little bit about how the show will work, because it's a little bit different than usually the way that we do things.
And this is a little bit different than usually what we'll do is we'll watch videos in between, play a little clip, and then we'll watch the videos in here. But I guess you guys have some that...
Some of that might happen.
There aren't videos. Yeah. Oh.
Well, all my
stuff we're watching some of
it. All of my stuff has some video component to it. That we may, but like the actual recording of the song doesn't have a video.
Oh, okay, okay, right.
Anyway, but Shane's up first, so what are we talking about?
Okay, so I've gone back and forth and back and forth between two wildly different artists that I want to start out here, and I'm just going to mentally flip a coin, and I'm going to go with High Enough by Damn Yankees, which is a super group with Ted Nugent and, well, we can
super indeed, Shane.
Styx. It was Tommy, somebody, and there was a dude from Night Ranger.
Tommy Shaw from Styx. Yeah.
Jack Blades from Night Ranger and Ted Nugent. And they had a number one or number two hit in, I believe, 1989 with this song, High Enough. And,
Is this a ballad?
Oh, yeah,
kinda.
It's a ballad, but it's got the Nuge in it, dude.
It's a power Nuge. Ballad with the Nuge in it.
Watch the video. We'll come back and we'll talk about how disinterested Ted Nugent seems in playing this song. So we're going to go watch that video real quick. We'll be back in a second.
All right.
I don't want to hear about it anymore. It's a shame I've got to live without you anymore. There's a fire in my heart, a pounding in my brain, it's driving me crazy. We don't need to talk about it anymore. Yesterday is just a memory. And we close the door. I just made one mistake. I didn't know what to say when you called me
have all kinds of thoughts about that shit.
Well, two things. Song sucks. Video what? Is awesome.
And it's awesome in a way that the movie Roadhouse is awesome. Nobody thinks it's an achievement, but you can't
well,
take
no.
your eyes off of it. Not
well,
for
it
a second.
It should win some award. I don't know what that award is. You might have to make one for it.
There's so much to love about Ted Nugent in that video, starting with the fact that he has those, like, dumbass like triangle eye shaped Oakley sunglasses on.
Yeah,
and then he's like chewing a gum with a smirk on his face the whole time. Like, God, get me out! Like, he can't even feign enthusiasm at all.
It was the gum chewing that I enjoyed the most.
I know,
like,
me too.
I couldn't get over it. Like,
he
was like defiantly chewing gum.
That's what I told you before we watched the video. Like, you're gonna see how into this video that it's gonna be apparent right off the. Like, he cannot be bothered even to slightly act like he's kind of invested in any way in that video. Until he blows through the door in his zebra striped kimono, and then deflects bullets with his rocking.
Yeah, no, it's hard. I mean, when you rock that hard, but what chance do bullets have, really? If you think about it.
Yeah. Well, he knows. If anybody knows bullets, it's
yeah,
Ted Nugent,
he does.
Okay?
He does know bullets. That's true. Yeah,
maybe exactly. We should give you like a little bit of a backstory. The video is interspersed with like the band wearing amazing round sunglasses, like performing in front of like old timey gas pumps, and that's cut, and that's in color, and it's cut with the black and white. To
they go knock over some liquor stores or something.
They ran and like robbed a bank or something.
Is that what happened? Because it just looked like they're making out in the convertible.
There was
and all
a lot
of sudden they
out
ran
the
away, and then they ran away from the car. What the
now
hell?
It seemed like somebody ran in and like stole some cigarettes or something. And then at the end, like, the accomplice gets executed.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody knows what happens to the guy. I guess he got killed in the shootout. But the girl, all she did was drive the getaway car, and she does the walk. Yeah, the green mile or whatever, you know, the walk down to prison.
The green dead woman walking. Yeah, and it turns out the priest reading her the last rites is Ted Nugent chewing gum.
Yeah, and still defiant. Like, clearly just killing time in this video. Like. Anyway, thank you, Shane.
Oh, no, yeah.
Dude, no, I'm a very enthusiastic thank you for the video.
I knew that we needed to start off with a bang.
Two thumbs way up from Ryan.
I had a couple good ones that I was gonna start off with, but the more that I thought about Ted Nugent and that kimono busting through the door,
that's a highlight.
Shared.
Yeah. It's pretty special.
Shall we move on?
Let's move on.
Let's do it.
Ryan, what do you have for us?
Well, I got a... gentleman from Houston, Texas, just like me, Archie Bell and the Drells, who performed a song called "The Tighten Up."
I was going to say "The
Tighten Up."
Up. Of course. Why would I say any other song other than "The
because
Tighten Up"?
That would be the one hit of his wonder. So yeah, let's get into "Tighten Up" by Archie Bell and the Drells.
In Houston, we just started a new dance called the Tighten Up. This is the music we tighten up with. First, tighten up on the drum. Come on now, drummer. I want you to tighten it up for me now. Oh, yeah. Tighten up on that bass now. Tighten it up. Yeah. Now let that guitar fall in. Oh, yeah. Tighten up on the organ now.
Arch Bell and the Drells with some expert choreography.
Yeah, they had a microphone in front of the three backup singers.
Who were not women, though.
And that needs to be
true.
They
were dudes. Yeah.
There were three guys in matching suits to Archie Bell.
Yeah.
And this,
the Drells.
Just there to dance.
But there was a microphone in front of the three of them. There was no singing. They weren't very either. God bless their enthusiasm, but they weren't
very
the best
enthusiastic, but not necessarily in sync.
No, they were not. They needed to tighten up.
But that was the first time that I can ever remember where the backup dancers and backup singers, especially in an R&B act,
were white.
No. I'm talking about the dancing guys
that weren't women.
They weren't women. Yeah. They were men, like in matching suits.
That's true.
All the white guys were wearing like caftans. They were all wearing like hippie stuff. The black guys were in suits.
Yeah, a little bit of a mishmash going on there.
It was an interesting thing.
And I found myself, I'm probably totally off base here, but I found myself at least wondering if the guys, the musicians in the back, were maybe some of that Muscle Shoals crew who used to play on a lot of those type of records.
Like the Wrecking Crew?
Exactly.
But those were just studio musicians.
Well,
what I love
about the backstory of this song, and I don't know if you guys know this, Archie Bell got drafted into Vietnam, and he was in Vietnam in the army when this song became a hit. And he was like hanging out with like his buddies in his platoon or whatever, and the song comes over Armed Forces Radio. He's like, "Oh, that's me." And they're like, "Fuck you." It's no, it isn't.
So what happened?
I mean, he had to like finish out his tour, but like, you know, he came back and promoted the thing, and it hit number one.
Yeah,
but he was fucking in Vietnam. When
that's pretty fucking crazy.
His song became a big hit.
That's got to be a rush too, to be like, you know, in the shit, as the saying goes.
Yeah, well, he got injured. Actually, that was the deal. I think he got hit in the leg.
Yeah,
by
one of the dancers.
And finished his convalescence by what?
By one of the dancers.
One of the dancers.
Maybe that guy on the left who was like so enthusiastic.
Just like, back up, buddy.
Yeah, so I think Mark's going to play the original recording, but we very much encourage you to watch the live video.
It's quite amusing.
It's quite something.
There's a little meltdown in the middle of it, but
a little glitch in the tape.
A little glitch there in a second.
Oh yeah, right. like the Betamax like went a
somebody
AWOL
left it in the car.
It's just nice to remember that videotapes.
Yeah, good times. Kevin, you got next?
Yeah, I do have next. So I have to say, there's a pretty good chance this will be nothing like what either of you have chosen.
That's kind of the theme.
That's why we do the show.
Yeah, that's the whole one-hit wonder phenomenon.
Yeah, so, and this is one of those tracks where I really thought hard about what I consider to be a one-hit wonder. And this is one of those tracks that I always consider, I always put in that bucket. And I'm talking about Always Something There to Remind Me by Naked Eyes. So we're going to
have one more minor hit that I
minor.
Like
which is the one I was listening to today and going like, "Oh yeah, I remember that too." And it was totally
pleasant. Yeah, I love that song.
But anyway, let's listen to this one. So, some high 80s drama going on in that video. Oh, and we should probably tell everybody, if you want to find the original authentic video for this version of Always Something There to Remind Me,
go to YouTube.
Yeah, look on Vimeo. The original one's on Vimeo.
That was a really good example of the kind of links that we're willing to go to for journalistic excellence.
That's right.
For you.
It's all about integrity.
The listener.
Really.
Because
it's analogous to like meeting the guy who was Deep Throat.
Deep Throat, right.
Parking garage.
Yeah.
It was. We went to a different website and found it.
Found the wrong video and watched that, and then Mark found the right one, and then we watched that again.
We explored the depths of the internet and went to two websites.
You know, their live performance on American Bandstand was remarkably similar to their performance in the video.
In the video? Yeah. Maybe had a little bit more passion in it. Very, very little, though.
They'd worked on it. They'd tightened up.
That's right.
They did. They did tighten up. So yeah. So
I got that.
Worth noting, this is a Burt Bacharach song.
No shit.
But, yeah, it's a Burt Bacharach song that he wrote with his writing partner Hal David. Way back in the day, and it was originally recorded by Dionne Warwick.
I bet it sounds slightly different than that version of it.
Different than the synth pop version that hit the top 20. But yeah, like this song's always kind of stuck with me, and like
well, what was their like kind of minor hit?
Promises.
Yeah, which I'd heard for years, but like I never knew who it was, and I
Shazammed
it.
Yeah.
I Shazammed it, and I was like, oh no shit.
Yeah, right, exactly. And it's exactly an oh no shit kind of song. So it's like it's like you could make the argument that technically they're not a one hit wonder band, but I was like, for all intents and purposes, this is the one they're known for.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like if you go to the show and they play Promises, everybody in the audience except for a few people will go like, oh no shit. Like
yeah, that was you guys. Like,
yeah.
Just so, like, well, okay, they're like so, a bar bet.
So the song like, is always something there to remind me, and apparently the thing that's always there to remind him is newspaper headlines.
Yeah,
well, yeah, there's some consistency issues with the video.
I think there's a little bit of flashback and flash forward stuff going on. Also,
is that what it is?
Well, there's consistency with the fact that
well, the song, if you're just hearing the song, you're thinking like, oh yeah, we used to hang out there. And like, oh, that's where we met. And,
there's a newspaper headline that says, Surprise wedding.
Surprise wedding, which is like,
and he's following her around with her new boyfriend and like plopping himself into chairs while they dance so
husband.
He can. Oh, husband.
Yes. Well, who I think is the keyboardist.
And she later divorces
him. No, he is.
Yeah. In the video.
No, but I don't know that she divorces him. She keeps wearing all black, and so it makes me think that
the courtroom drama is that she killed him.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. So the keyboardist dies.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not a lot.
The keyboardist was also the editor of the newspaper,
and that's why they put the surprise wedding on the front page of the newspaper.
The press is no longer free when it's dead. So
all I'm saying is there's a lot of internal logic going on in this video.
Well, there isn't. Yeah. At the beginning, he's basically doing all the things he's saying he did in the songs, like past the cafe or whatever.
Yeah, it's one of those like story videos that you see a lot in country music, where like the video just like, you know, at least in the beginning, like, you know, just kind of
so
plays.
There are those people that do the literal videos. I don't know if you've ever seen those, where
like this one,
but they actually like they take music videos and then they rewrite the lyrics to be literal to what's happening in the video.
I have not seen
it.
That
would not work with this video.
It tries and starts and then just fails.
Anyway. Yeah, it was. This was one that I wanted to share. I think the takeaway for me from this video is, if she's the one for you and it doesn't work out, just move out of town.
Don't
keep going to the same places.
Or at
like,
least
what
stop
the?
Reading the damn newspaper.
Right, exactly.
If publishing everything about them in the newspaper,
which is like a personal blog about your failures, like it's awful.
And I don't know, man. Like, I don't know why this woman's relationship foibles are so newsworthy.
Because he wants something to always be there to remind him.
The tagline to my blog, a personal timeline of my failures.
.com.
All right, we should move on to the next one. Shane, what do you have for us?
Yeah.
1994 hit by alt-rock. You know, kind of second.
Spill it, dude.
Third wave riot girl, LA act, Four Non Blondes.
Oh, I was hoping you were going there.
Oh, man.
And the song.
You're bringing up my most hated song in the world.
In the song. Oh, it's mine, too. We're going to go through this together. And that, but I have not watched this video.
Crucible of Fire.
Since 1994. I just remember she wears a stupid hat in it.
All I'm saying is you're a fucking dick.
This is how you build the calluses.
All right. So What's Up by Four Non Blondes.
Into a crisis of times when I'm lying in bed just to get it all out. What's in my head? And I am feeling a little peculiar. And so I wake in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath.
That's a present.
Dude.
It was a present to myself as well.
All I've got to say is if you ever need to, like, get government secrets out of me and you have me detained, fucking show that video for me over and over again, and I'll spill it, dude.
You don't even
totally.
Have to, you probably don't even have to do it over and over again. It's
maybe
five
once
long.
We'll do it.
Like,
no,
I think
it's
by
five...
the end of that. By the end of that song, I will have spilled all my secrets.
So the premise, best I can understand, is that like the four ladies in the band.
No. It's only three in that video. Just but, one of the dude has really long hair.
Okay. Well, the three ladies and the dude, none of them are blonde. So they're non-blondes. And the premise of the song is like, hey,
but
what's up?
Bass player actually is blonde, if I'm remembering correct. But anyway.
Well, it's I'm just going by.
I just don't care. I just want them to go away out of my life. I want to bleach my brain right now.
I hate. That might be. That's definitely my least favorite song of the 1990s. I wouldn't tell you.
That's a very 90s looking video too.
Well, oh, I know. The funny thing is, it's like it's somewhere like their style sense is like somewhere in between. Like it's like a little bit of. Grunge and then a little bit of like I don't know Primus.
There's some
like
steampunk in there.
Yeah, a little bit
you
of
know,
steampunk.
She's wearing like, a hat slash jellyfish. Like it looked like
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. No. It's
they were just throwing all the kind of like alternative alt stuff.
Well,
like at the wall.
And that's. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I didn't have anything else to say.
That's
like,
the thing.
Fuck
that,
them.
It's the thing. I mean, there's nothing about that song
We've
that's good
right.
in any way. But the thing that's most frustrating about it is how she cynically tried to tap into this disaffected thing that was going on, right? You know, like
by saying, "Hey, what's going?
What's
on?
What's going on?" Oh, by the way, they call that song.
The
what's
chorus
up?
Is "Hey."
Yeah, but they were afraid.
I said hey.
But she's like 25 years old trying to get up that hill that life is giving me. It's just all these fucking platitudes that she's just saying that make you think, or if you're like a 17-year-old like in high school, that make you think that she's just saying something deep. And in fact, really all she's doing is taking like marketing terms. By the way, let me tell you this. That song, here's something. That song was actually – they brought in some outside people to help tighten up that song.
Hey.
Those people being,
we're gonna just keep coming back to it.
Tighten up. Yeah, I didn't. That wasn't on purpose. I think it's just in my head. But Desmond Child was one of them, co-writer of many, many top 40 hits, including many by Bon Jovi. He also wrote "Livin' La Vida Loca." The other person was
All
Paul Stanley.
Makes sense.
Oh. Paul Stanley.
Oh my god! Really?
To come in and help tighten that song up.
Like, Paul Stanley has one good song.
No, he doesn't.
Didn't he do "Back in the New York Groove"?
No, that was.
Oh, that
him.
Was Ace Frehley.
Was Ace Frehley?
Okay, yeah, I take
that
it back.
That is a good song.
Yeah, it is a good song, and it sounds nothing like Kiss.
But I mean, talk about a money grubbing, not give a shit about it. You know about how the world
Absolutely.
Is dealing you a raw
and
deal.
Fuck
I mean,
you for bringing this to us.
you are so welcome to have
this
to relive that.
Two, I fear it will only get worse.
No. That is by far the worst.
It can't get worse. This is the Marianas Trench
that's
of music.
That's why I went ahead and ripped that Band-Aid off really quickly because I knew I was going to have to suffer through it.
All right, so Ryan, you're next.
Yeah, man.
What do you got?
And this song, some might call cheesy, but I genuinely fucking love it, and it's Starland Vocal Band, Afternoon Delight.
Oh.
And there is an official music video for it. There's not a ton going on in it, but
there is. When did this song come out?
1976.
Awesome.
And it's one of my earliest musical memories. It's like hearing the song on the radio all the time and having no idea
what it was about.
But let's get into Afternoon Delight.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, it's right. Why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day. And we know the night is always gonna be here anyway. In flight, afternoon delight.
What just happened?
Majesty.
I saw that. That had to be the, like, in terms of, like, the calories that the performers exert during the performance, that had to be, like, the most relaxed video I've ever seen in my life.
It's definitely that.
That video was like a couch.
I just love the idea that, like, there's a song about sex in the afternoon that's just dominating the airwaves in a pretty repressed time.
They say they won best new artist at the Grammys that year.
Dude, they got a variety show out of it. It only aired for 6 weeks, but David Letterman was on it.
Of course he was.
What?
Yeah,
or he wrote for it at the very least. I don't know. It was Starline Vocal Band Variety Hour or something. They never had another hit. But this song was such
surprise.
A giant smash that they fucking got a variety show out of it.
God, that's hilarious. Well, and it's like the way that these old things are shot is such like it's such. I mean, and some of it is like
it's like watching a film strip in high school from kinda. the '50s or something.
Like, yeah, it's a peewee outtake. Like they're just not like they're fascinating.
They're just anachronistic. Like they're just like from another. Like what the fuck was that? Well, my favorite though is like with all the fireworks. That's essentially equating it to sperm. I mean,
what just the fireworks that happen when you get together in the afternoon, right?
Yeah, but that shit was all over Top 40 radio. Like some of my earliest memories of like just listening to the radio and Casey Kasem.
I actually haven't heard that song that many times in my life. Somehow it's as much as I love AM radio.
I genuinely
Gold.
Think it's a good song though. Like I genuinely love it in a non-ironic way. The video is pure gold though.
Oh yeah. Well, you know what? And like look at like the two women are you know, by definitely by society standards pretty attractive. And then there's the guy
the
and, like the.
They're
not as much.
Weird looking.
They're weird looking. The one guy's got like weird big glasses on and like some red shirt. It looks like he made it out of a bandana.
Well, like
or
lounge
something.
Lizard like outfits.
There are a lot of slacks in this video. But the other thing that I
polyester slacks,
yes, including the drummer.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the drummer.
Well, he was just slacking off. He wasn't doing anything.
He may or may not have been asleep.
The big
but
grin
the,
on his face.
My favorite shots in that video were like where. The dudes are singing the lines, and the women are doing the ooh-oohs at the same time, and they have this, like, side of the head shot where they're facing each other.
And then, like, they'll recite their line, and then the other two meet up and recite their line.
Anyway, I don't know, coerced looking. Like, it's peculiar.
Hey, but you. I know you. I know you.
Yes, exactly. The Harry Shearer SNL bit
not
about
a strong swimmer.
Yes, yeah, not a very strong swimmer. Anyway,
male synchronized swimming. I believe that was that one. Yeah.
So yeah. So thank you for that, Ryan.
My pleasure. I'm going to do the equivalent of the intermission, and I'm going to go smoke half a cigarette. But Kevin, we're going to be listening to what next?
Yeah. So when we come back, let's do. The Carl Douglas standard kung fu fighting.
Ooh, kung fu fighting. I haven't thought about
that. That was almost on my list. I'm glad you brought that up.
Almost on your list.
Well, it almost made my top four cut. Like I was right there with that one. So
all right, we'll come back with that.
I'm glad somebody brought it.
Yeah, we'll spin it. Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought. It's safe to say that in a sea of really weird videos,
that one stands.
I mean, it's weirder than many.
Does my face look like a human question mark right now? I don't know what that was.
Yeah. I thought that was genuinely the weirdest video I've ever seen.
Well, right, yeah, no, and if we tried to break it down, it would only serve to confuse people more.
Swedish,
but maybe
part
might
performance,
have been.
Part like.
Like
early SNL
like
Monty Python
a
sketch
show.
In Sweden,
yeah,
or yeah, maybe.
And they just randomly had they're like
Mr. Vander Doofus versus Mr. Van Dyck.
Yeah, anyway, like yeah, it's sort of like a thread that you couldn't follow from the very beginning, even if you probably spoke that language. But ultimately, like I still think that that song. So it's weird.
Song's like, fun.
Well, the song's fun. Like
it,
song
it makes
amazing.
A minor. It makes a minor appearance in the video.
It does make a minor appearance.
They do lip sync to it. He's got two amazing dudes. By the way,
again, like male backup,
male backup dancers.
Yeah, it's like Reggie Jackson and his friend from Chico and the Man. Like I don't know. Like I don't know. Like what was going on that set? But there, Shane was like, "Is there a hot tub there?" We were like, "Yeah, I think there's a hot tub there." Anyway, it's very peculiar. If you run a YouTube search for Kung Fu Fighting, that's what will come up first.
That's
and
worth
anyway,
watching.
Yeah, spend a few minutes with it, and then you'll be as confused as we are.
It's very confusing.
Yeah.
But I'm very glad that I watched it.
Yeah. It's
I just don't know what drugs people were on in the 70s that produced that thing.
Here's what's Quaalude. Really fascinating.
That's what I hear.
Here's what was really fascinating to me is like there was a – there was like an anniversary type video that came out, and maybe it was like 2011, and it was about the song Kung Fu Fighting, and all it was like a record full of like different mixes of that same song, and I was like, that shit has been sung a lot in a lot of different ways,
like by different people.
Yeah, some of them were DJs. Some of them
pretty
were like
dope song, dude.
Yeah, no, it's yeah. Anyway, it's it is. There's a little bit of between that and Afternoon Delight. I feel like we're
working through the 70s.
We're just working on a Will Ferrell movie, like essentially.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, shall we go to round three?
Yeah, let's go to round three.
Shane.
All right, I'm going to take us back to the 80s. I'm actually going to go local. I'm going to go local, and we'll listen to Timbuk 3, Future So Bright, I Gotta Wear Shades.
Oh, there you go.
Which is a song that you probably haven't thought of since 1987,
1986. Since I last wore
shades.
But
boy, was it sure popular on T-shirts and on that people would wear in middle school and stuff back then. So, yeah, let's listen to that, Future So Bright, I Gotta Wear Shades.
Aight. How bright is my future?
Well, what I'm counting on is that it's so bright you're going to have to wear shades, which by the way...
Shades is just an 80s term.
That's what I was going to say. That I was going to say, by the way, who like I'd love...
Amen, it. Like shades.
Shades. Say shades that I just see like...
I'd love that term, too. When did it go out of fashion?
Like 1985?
Yeah.
1991. Yeah.
Isn't there a new definition for shade?
If you throw shade?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you throw shade on somebody, well, throwing shade is like throwing somebody under the bus, kind of.
Pretty much, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, so different.
That song seems to be about scholastic performance, like, which is
well,
like
he's studying nuclear science.
Yeah, that's something.
He
loves his classes, though.
Loves his classes.
He's got a weird professor dude that wears dark glasses.
Yeah, and he's getting good grades. Like that's
so things are going to get better.
Yeah. Well, and clearly they're already starting from a pretty good spot.
Well, and Shane, right. You said that like this band is from Austin, and they're only kind of from Austin.
Well, they were here for a long time.
And well, no, they moved here.
They
like,
moved here
like shortly before that song became a big deal, and apparently it pissed off a bunch of.
No, like, Barbara Kay's still here. I mean,
well,
like,
no,
Pat
no,
McDonald
they've
was
been
was
here.
Or
she's been here a long time.
Pat McDonald
but
was
when
too,
this,
but
when this song came out, they'd only been here for a year or two.
Well, but what happened was there was the Cutting Edge MTV show that came, and they were playing on the drag and with a jam box, and they which they prominently show a couple of times in that. As a drummer,
and that was a cutting edge video, by the way.
Oh yeah, they spent a lot of money on it.
Yeah, it's very. It's like this sort of fuzzy lo-fi black and white thing where they appear to be. I don't know. Are they in Arizona? They're clearly not in Austin.
They're not. Yeah, they're not here. Yeah.
Well, it just looks like they hired.
Maybe
Looks like they hired like the finest of the San Fernando Valley porn director of the era.
There's no Wawa pedal.
They spent all
song.
Their money on taking the trip to wherever they were in New Mexico and then hiring a donkey to wander around with the TV on its back.
Yeah. And it's more of the sort of literal interpretation like the 80s. Like, yeah, there's a lot of shots of the sunglasses. Sunglasses are featured prominently.
A lot of sunglasses. A lot of the swipe, like where the video swipes from one thing to the next.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was basically it was good looking. It was a good looking video. But I don't know why, but that just I was like, what's a one hit wonder? And then that was a real wonder
that
for a little while.
That is the definition of a one hit wonder.
That reminds me of like Head of the Class, you know, like that
that Howard Hessman
Howard show? Hessman show or something, like somebody would like pull out like feature so bright, gotta wear shades, and then like the audience would go off in rapturous applause. Like it was really big, like Spuds McKenzie. It was really big for like, about six, seven
and then,
months
like,
there.
What? Yeah, like, that was a thing.
Sort of like the Starlight Vocal Band. Really big for about 6 months there.
Big flash in the pan.
Like Star Rockets in Flight.
Afternoon Delight, Kevin. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for reminding us. What do you have next for us, Ryan?
Another song I genuinely love, which has a twist about it, which I'm not going to reveal at the moment, but it's Positive K, I Got a Man.
I don't know that I know this song.
You'll know it when you hear it. And the video is pretty great, too. But
that was going to be my rap name.
Positive K?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're pretty positive, K.
Is that a blood type?
For the time, yes, probably. Oh, okay. Let's get it.
And vitamin, too.
Let's hear the track, and then we'll get into the commentary.
Yeah. Positive K, I Got a Man, which actually, when that song was actually first out, it was 1993.
I was going to say, was that 93?
It was 1993.
Yeah. Well,
very
did
Boys
it,
in
so.
The Hood style like video, Boys in the Hood, the movie. But anyway, no, I was dating a girl, and that was like kind of our unofficial like song. I mean, we're kind of being ironic about it, but like I think we both genuinely liked it. But here's the twist. There's no woman singing in that video, or in that song. Positive K, the dude, like I actually thought that was like the woman. Positive K was like the woman, but no, he would digitally manipulate his voice and recorded both vocal parts.
Oh, that's funny.
It's like an early sort of auto-tuning thing, or
kind of.
And if you come across that song these days, like through the video, it's like a point. The whole thing plays like a point counterpoint.
Yeah, well,
and
no, it's always, just him and like like playing off like the various women in his life. Mostly one, and then it ends up being a bunch of them, all who apparently all have men.
Well, right,
they do. We still don't know what their respective men had to do with him.
Well, nothing.
Well, and really, I mean, I think the big point is like he's trying not to hear that.
He's trying, yeah.
Like he doesn't want to hear that. He's trying not to hear that.
He's trying to not hear that.
Yes,
which is different than I'm not listening to you.
Right. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah. It's maybe a more literal interpretation of hearing.
I don't know, man. I really didn't like that song that much, and I have not heard it before.
I love it, man.
It's all nostalgic. It's just there's no chorus in it. It just does this. I don't know. Like,
well,
I mean, it was an entertainment video.
If you hear it over
video.
Good speakers, like it's all just samples. It was back in the era when you could get away with that.
It doesn't ever. Like I listen to a lot of or have.
You didn't enjoy the bridge.
The 27-minute sax solo?
Yes. No. Yeah. No. That's when I
genuinely like that song. It's just a fun
nostalgic.
Little, like, you know, toss-off kind of.
I guess it's not for me. I've never heard it before, but
yeah.
I was trying to figure out where that was from because, like,
It was all over the place in Houston.
It was like a summer song. And that's why I was thinking maybe it's from that area because at one point at least he was wearing all LSU, like an LSU cap, and I was thinking maybe it came out of...
I don't know where he's from, but maybe like, it was New Orleans. All over the airwaves Houston for a summer.
It might have just come out of Houston is what I'm saying. It might have come out of Houston maybe. Or New Orleans.
I think this was still...
never heard that song in my life. Like, really? Before. So,
well, there were a lot of people at that party. That's all I'm saying.
That's true.
And they all had men.
Clearly, we saw that. Apparently, so and we got to see the best dancer at a house party
right there at the end with the
suspenders and the purple shirt.
Yeah,
that was good stuff.
All right,
Kevin, what do you have for us?
So is it my turn? So it occurred to me, like with the one hit wonder challenge, that there's sort of like no bigger like swing for the fences. Than having one song that goes popular and then declaring yourself bigger than the Beatles. And so we're going to do Terrence Trent D'Arby's Wishing Well.
Oh, I like that song. Yeah,
that's a good pick, man.
Yeah.
I did not know that, but that's a song that I have not thought of in 30 years.
Yeah. Well, he didn't see that coming.
He declared himself bigger than the Beatles?
Yeah.
Oh, he was super full of himself.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know any of this stuff.
He was puffed up like a balloon. Oh, anyway, God. Yeah, let's do it. Let's play it.
All right.
Kissing like a bandit, stealing time underneath a sycamore tree. Cupid by the arse. Valentine's to my sweet lover and maid. Slowly but surely your appetite is more than I knew. Sweetly, softly, I'm falling in love with you. Wish me love, a wishing well, to kiss and tell. Love a wishing well, to kiss and tell. A wishing well, a crocodile she's saying.
Sonata Francesco Maitreya is what he goes by now. He was born Terrence Trent Howard in Manhattan in 1962. And this record came out, this song came out as Terrence Trent D'Arby. And you know how like... Sometimes, like, we've talked a lot about Wikipedia, but, like, one of the interesting things about Wikipedia is occasionally they can understate things. They don't always, sometimes it goes the other direction.
It often goes the other direction.
Yeah, but anyway, one paragraph that particularly caught my eye was, he expressed a high opinion of his debut album, brashly claiming that it was the most important album since the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper.
Yeah, you can definitely see that coming through. Oh, I genuinely like that song.
He did have a
second minor hit, kind of like Naked Eyes did, which was also a good song, and I'm trying to remember what it was.
Yeah, I remember that because I like that song too. I think it was a cover.
Yeah, there were a couple of tracks off the there's If You Let Me Stay was another song off that record that did well. Dance Little Sister and Sign Your Name.
I think it was Sign Your Name.
Yeah. You know, I guess maybe we're kind of applying a little bit of a broad brush, but not too broad. Like, really,
no,
I feel like this
one
is
song
this
by
is like,
Terrence Trent
that's
D'Arby.
That's the one you know.
This is the one
it's
you
Wishing
know.
Will.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, I kind of wonder, like, I kind of feel like, you know, maybe these days, like, years later, like, he sits around and talks about the old days a lot. Like,
of course he does.
I mean, what
that's
would
the
what
kind
else
of guy
would
that would say something like that in the first place? I just
kind of felt like Milli Vanilli was missing its third member.
Right, yeah.
No, that guy could fucking sing, man.
No, he can sing, like, for sure, and moves like MJ. And so there's some real talent there, but better than Beatles? Or
no.
Equal to or important as?
I'm wondering why he fell off the cliff like that. If he had a couple of singles out that first, and they obviously spent some money on polishing up his appearance.
Well,
and like, I wonder why he fell so far. Maybe it was his arrogance, dare
brashness,
I say?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think it could be that the writing well runs dry, or there wasn't like there was like you sort of
that
hit the
guy's really well suited to work with other writers.
His mother was a gospel singer, like a noted gospel singer, and he actually came up apparently as an athlete and was a like a state of Florida Golden Gloves champ, like a legitimate like boxer at one point. But anyway, yeah, I just thought like when this is another one of those tracks, it's like when I think of one hit wonder acts, it's like okay, maybe there were other songs, but really,
no, that was all that was a good pick. That was a good pick. Yeah,
Shane, you're up next.
Yeah, so we're gonna go to a different place for this last round for me.
Is it Iceland?
Is it a dark place?
Possibly. This is a guy that actually was a true one hit wonder. Though if you read his Wikipedia page, it will try to convince you otherwise. But his first hit I believe went to number one or number two. His second charted at number 75 and then never got any steam even above that. And that's we're going to go ahead and go with Achy Breaky Heart by Billy Ray Cyrus.
Oh my God, I totally thought about that. Yeah.
Or you can tell my lips, to tell my fingertips, they won't be reaching out for you no more. Don't tell my heart, my achy breaking heart, I just don't think he'd understand. And if you tell my heart, my achy breaking heart, he might.
It's a bad song, but it's not that bad. What's bad is his stupid hair that you just want to grab hit him over and over.
No, it's business in the front, party in the back.
No, but it is. It defines a Kentucky waterfall. But he also occasionally just pulls it back and also a ponytail. So sometimes he just lets it run free over his
I also
chest.
Have bad associations.
Sometimes
with
he tightens it up.
Sometimes I also have bad associations with it. And the first way girl I was ever in love with, like my high school girlfriend, and I moved off to college, and I came back to see her. And she loved this song. And it was right when I was in the middle of, like, you know, being, like, super into, like, everything this song wasn't.
Didn't represent.
And I was like, oh, we're not going to work out. And I was fucking in love with that girl. And, like, we didn't work out, not because of this song, but I was just like, wow, you're stupider than I thought.
True.
It always or more susceptible.
There was a
like,
lot of.
Who knows? She was 2 years younger than me. Like, go ahead, Shane.
Yeah. I'm sure it would have worked out, though. Anyway.
Yes. She could have just been clean stupid.
And by the way, Ryan, I'm sure, like, look, if it had worked out, you'd be looking back on it now, wishing it hadn't. So.
That's true, man. Like, hey, man alive. That ain't been a dog sometime.
Anyway, we won't go into it, but I did. I did at least bring up during the break. The Bill Hicks retort to this track, which is something we won't go into.
He wants to start a Cops offshoot instead of it being Cops.
Let's hunt and kill Billy Ray Cyrus. Essentially the plot being that they chase this what he called a no talent jarhead cracker asshole all over the planet. And I won't go into the rest of it, but suffice it to say that it doesn't work out for Billy Ray in the end. And in a weird way, that's the way that life has worked out, because now he's got Miley.
Oh, God, yeah. It's the second generation.
There are two songs by Miley Cyrus.
Miley Ray Cyrus?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Same difference.
Yeah, might as well be. But no, she has two songs that I genuinely like.
Skylar's the same way. I just don't get it at all.
One of these days, when it's just me and you, like, I'll play them.
No, I've heard a bunch of them.
I'll lay out the argument.
Okay, well.
I wasn't wanting to like them. They just ended up that way.
I don't have an issue with liking songs by artists that I'm not necessarily going to go out and listen to a bunch of their music by. I'm just telling you that that's highly doubtful.
Well, in the meantime, this was a special treat. So thank you,
Billy Ray Cyrus. Look, so one thing I was going to say is there's a little bit of backstory about this, and I won't go too far into it. But this song basically was it wasn't performing as well as they wanted it to. So I don't know if it was his record label or his management, they basically created the line dancing co-opted the line dancing scene and made a line dance around this song and then distributed it everywhere, like all over these honky-tonks and places everywhere. So people knew the
this
line
song
dance.
This song was huge.
It was because of that. It was almost single-handedly responsible for the line dance explosion in the early 90s.
Some guy on Music Row got a big bonus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to shift gears for my next selection.
Surprise. Shocker.
Yeah. And I don't even know if everybody around here, but it is a one-hit wonder in that it's the song they're most well-known for. I don't know if everybody here is going to know it, but it was John Peel's favorite song, and it's on his headstone, lyrics from it.
Oh, I know what song you're talking about. Yeah.
Teenage Kicks by
Teenage
The Undertones.
Kicks, yeah.
Song so much.
It's a good song.
Yeah, you know, I think Shane's a little less enthusiastic about
it. No, I think it's a good song. It's just crazy to me, like, of all of the incredible
John Peel.
All of the incredible bands that went through, you know, his studios over the course of 40 years that's...
Meaning the Smiths?
No, I mean, there's tons. I mean, tons and tons and tons. Look
yeah,
at what that guy...
did
a tons and tons. I'm just saying,
yeah.
Like, that's it's a nice little trifle.
No,
of a
when
song.
He first heard that song, he played it twice in a row on his show, like just the single, and which he'd never done before. And it's just a perfectly constructed,
it's a nice little pop song.
Pop song in the punk vein.
It's a ditty, like a punk ditty.
It's a punk ditty. Yes.
A B ditty, if you would.
I suspect it might have come out after.
I don't
the
necessarily
Pistols.
Know it was the same. Yeah, it was 78. It said 78.
Yeah, it's definitely inspired by the Sex Pistols, but like they dredged one up. Like they found their song.
It's a good song. It's just not an amazing song. Like at some of the more, I don't know, whatever. It's just my opinion. I think it's a great song.
And it's on John Peel's headstone.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly what the inscription is, but there is on his headstone a lyric from this song that he like directed. Like, I want this on my headstone.
Yeah.
So the Undertones, and apparently they're Northern Irish. So
never more undertone than then.
Yes, dead.
So at least 6 feet undertone.
Yes.
So we can't even make it through a mixtape show without talking about
dead people.
Well, that was a good time, Ry.
Kevin, yeah. I think you have the last song of the night.
Yeah, I do have the last song of the night, and I feel like
choose wisely.
We should finish on a song that will be universally recognized as a one hit wonder song, and we're going to finish, of course, on the next My Sharona.
Oh, that's a great pick.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty good universal one-hit wonder song.
Yeah. So let's...
that's a fucking bass line from hell. So
let's...
Yeah.
For those of us who maybe don't know My Sharona, let's play it.
Close enough to look in my eyes.
a song that the New York Times called an emblem of the new wave era in rock and a prime example of the brevity of pop fame. If that doesn't scream one-hit wonder, I don't know
brevity
what does.
Brevity of pop fame?
Yeah.
But here's the interesting... I apparently can no longer speak. The interesting thing about that is that song is timeless. I mean, I guarantee you, like...
Oh, I fucking love the song.
It's a decent song. I'm just saying that it's everywhere still. Like, it's in commercials, it's in movies, it's in montages,
yeah.
and trailers.
Yeah.
I hear it. Cover bands play it constantly. There's no
It's not even surprising, like, when it pops up.
What's that?
It's not even surprising.
It's not surprising
at
all.
Yeah.
It's fairly ubiquitous.
Well, and I'm thinking... So it came out in, what, 79?
April of 1979.
And how long did the skinny tie phenomenon go on?
For through March of 1981.
Thank you, Kevin.
That's reasonable.
But man, like, those guys were like, it's like, how skinny can the ties get?
Well, it looked like if they had a
no more skinny.
It looked like if he had a bolo tie on, but it was just one of the strands of the bolo.
He actually had it tucked into his shirt.
That tie was basically two-dimensional. Like, it was just, that's all there was to it. Yeah, there apparently was a real Sharona.
There was a real Sharona?
There was a real Sharona. And that just leads me to believe that, like...
Was it his Sharona?
Well, for 4 years. The guy that, dated for 4 years. And then, like, literally, presumably for the rest of her life, as long as that was or may be, she gets to hear that song. You're like, yes.
I hate this song.
Yes.
Or
there'll be a car commercial. I think it's in, like, a cottage cheese commercial or something now.
Well, no, there's actually a you know, fucking, like, a... Dr. Demento-style parody song about this called Nine Coronas, but a guy who just drank too much and hooked up with the wrong girl.
Well, didn't Weird Al also do My Bologna?
Maybe that, too.
I think so.
I think he did.
I like the Nine Coronas song, though.
No, she's looking good. She's looking good after nine Coronas.
I think I need to go look that one
up. Super accurate.
It's actually not far off, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I just... When I there were a few tracks that came to mind when I thought of one hit wonder acts, and this was definitely one of them. And I almost like didn't bring it because I thought it's too obvious.
Yeah,
but
I didn't even think of it.
Yeah,
I didn't either.
You are now though, aren't you? Boom.
For the rest of the night.
Oh, yeah, it'll be stuck in my head. And then I'll get home and there'll be like a car commercial with some kids in the back seat of the car, and it'll be like,
I wish you could. Get some sleep. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, so that's the mixtape version,
that's
you guys.
It. Yeah, I definitely don't think that's the last time we're going to do a one-hit wonder mixtape.
No, holy shit, that was fun.
We have so many more. Yeah. And I know all three of us have so many.
The great thing,
a rich mind of vein.
Yeah, the great thing about the one-hit wonder stuff is like...
Did you just say a rich mind of vein?
Yeah.
All right.
Isn't
it a rich vein to mine?
You might be right about that.
Okay.
Either way.
Every now and then I'm wrong.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen so often.
It doesn't happen often. But
But the thing about the one-hit wonder junk is that, like there's so much of it, and it, like, in a weird way...
They just keep
it's
on
like
going.
You sort of don't have to bone up on these because some of them we've spent so much time actively avoiding that it's like when you get to the point where you want to play one, you're like, eh.
Well, dude, right, like, when I was, like, doing research for this, like, there's a bunch of them that we've already played on
doing
the show.
Research.
I noticed that, too. Yeah.
Well, just pulled up One Hit Wonders and saw
we
talked about that one, we talked about that one, we talked about that one.
I did think that it was interesting that, Ryan, that you played Got a Man, and you've also brought us Ski-Lo. So you have,
and
at the same time, like, the content of those is, like, sort of polar opposite of one another.
Yeah.
One of them's very self-deprecating.
And the other one's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, this was fun, you guys. This was a good time. What are we doing next week?
We haven't done an album technically by this genre yet, and we kind of have a little bit, but we're going to go ahead and do Poison, Open Up, and Say Ah.
Well,
we did Bon Jovi.
Kind of. It's very well, and we'll talk about this whenever we do the show.
That gives me
long hair.
Gives me time to go buy do-rags.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. We should all wear a Brett Michaels do.
Get some weird
like Botox and eye work done and
stuff
like that.
Yeah, and that's good. I like it.
Yep. Well, you know, I'm gonna
start a reality show where I have women compete to date me. In the meantime,
all of these
who wants to date a
great
podcaster?
Yeah.
Yeah. good.
The answer is nobody. Right now, anyway.
Anyway, this was fun, y'all. Until next week, I'm Kevin.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Shane.
I'm Mark.
This is Somebody Likes It.